Church say amen.
Amen.
We're going to try this again. They said you've been working. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I am so grateful to be in the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ on this morning. If I was at home, I would say so many other people would have desired to be standing where I'm standing or sitting where you're sitting. But because of God's providence and his superiority, he has decided to call some home to a place of rest. But I'm so glad that he woke me up this morning and started me on my way. Gave me another chance to get it right one more again. So do me a favor, put your hands together for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are so grateful for your pastor. For allowing me to come and stand behind this sacred desk. It's not a charge that I take very simply, but I know that it is a prayed upon cause. We are experiencing what we call the pulpit swap on today. Just another way for us to interact with one another that God may understand that we were all born of one blood. And as our scripture has already been read, if you don't mind me just reading it one more again from the New King James Version. And it says it in the 26th verse, it says, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. Today, the gifted subject matter is moving to oneness. If you don't mind, I'd like to preach from the topic, you need me and I need you. You need me and I need you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you now for this preaching moment, this time that you have set aside in eternity that your word may be proclaimed, that somebody may come saying, I yield, what must I do to be saved? Somebody may be encouraged, somebody may be lifted. God, I know that it is none of me but all of thee, so I ask for the power of your Holy Ghost to step inside, move after I've done my learning, bring all things back to my remembrance, that God, your name would get all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. My brothers and sisters, this passage of scripture is one that every disciple needs to understand. It is the passage of scripture where we find Paul after being dismissed from other lands for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He finds himself preaching the gospel and people getting saved, but every now and then you're going to have to realize that nobody really wants to hear the gospel. People will sit up there and receive it one day and hate you the next, just because you told them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. They will sit and they will understand when you tell them that if you come to Jesus just as you are, without one plea, that he is faithful and just to cleanse you of your faults. And then they will look you square in the eye and say, who you judging? I need you to understand what Paul was dealing with as he was being shuffled around city to city because people were getting upset with him for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He finds himself in the area of Athens. He finds himself in the area of Athens, and he begins to do only what a preacher knows how, and that's preach the gospel. He only knows how to preach the gospel because he understands that in his former life, he was known as Saul, a persecutor of the church. He was going from church to church and serving papers and removing pastors and causing hurt among members, and he was persecuting the church. But I thank God that Paul found himself on a Damascus road one Sunday afternoon. He found himself on a Damascus road late at night, and he ran smack dab into God. God knocked him off his high horse, put him down on the ground, and held him there. And all Paul could do was say, who are you? Jesus said, why do you persecute thou? After a little bit of a conversation, and that's what all of us need, is we need to have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles, and he will hide us. He will take care of us. Paul finds himself knocked on the ground. People around, but they can't help him. The only one that could help him was God. God sent him on his way, and Saul found himself being transformed on his journey. into Paul. But now Paul is trying to do the exact opposite of what he was known for, and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The text, if you read up above, they say that while he was preaching, they claim it as he was turning the world upside down. The Bible says that there was a man named Jason, and Jason was brought before the courts with Paul, and he was accused of preaching the gospel and going against Caesar by saying there's another king. And I don't know about you, but even on this side of North Capitol Avenue, I got to let you know there is a King of Kings, there is a Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus the Christ. Amen. He finds himself being persecuted. He finds himself in an awkward situation, standing before the court system, and now he has to testify. He has to testify in what I want to call the land of no God. Look at the text. If you read it real good, it says that the people were worshiping all types of gods. And then they had the nerve not to just worship all types of God, but they had an inscription on an altar to the unknown God. And as I sat studying, I found out that the reason that they had the unknown God was because they were trying to cover their bases. They said, if there be a God that we don't know about, we want to worship him too. And I believe that that's the kind of society that we're living in nowadays, where people want to worship any and everything. They want to put it and worship their jobs. They want to put and worship families. They want to put and worship relationships that are not of God. They want to sit and worship everything but the true and the living God. I know I'm a little bit loud, but y'all gotta have to pray with me here. I get excited when I start to think about what God is doing through the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he finds himself in what I call no God land. In no God land, he begins to preach the gospel. He begins to teach the word, and people get upset. And is that not just like what we came to celebrate on today as we remember the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Dr. King stood up and began to proclaim to people, whether you be black, white, brown, gold, green, yellow, whatever you are, as long as you are human, we got to get along. No matter who you are, we got to learn how to love one another. We got to do what we got to do, but you can't do that if you're going to serve any kind of God. You got to serve the kind of God that knows how to bring the left and the right together, know how to bring Republican and Democrat together, independent and green tea. You got to serve the kind of God that says, as long as you call on my name, I'll be there. We find ourselves in this land of no God. Even in America today, we are in the land of no God. And I can prove it to you if you ask me. Do you want to know? Oh, they asked me, so let me tell you. We're in the land of no God because we have encrypted on our money in God we trust, but in yet and still, we trust in everything else. We sit and we have the Bible that says, I will lean not to mine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct the path. But we trust Google and YouTube and anything else to direct us to where we need to go. We in a land where folk have gone to a no God kind of system. But can I tell you that as long as I have been living, God has supplied all of my needs. As long as I have been living, God has directed every path of mine. Even when I tried to go left, he was sitting right there. Even when I made my bed in hell, he came down and he sat with me. Even when I decided I wanted to leave him, he said, you can't leave me. I will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. My God is a good shepherd. He's a good God. Yes. My brothers and sisters, we are sitting here today, and there be no mistake about it as I look around the room that we have some differences. Yes. My hair gets curly. Yes. My skin is of a darker hue. Your skin may be of a lighter hue. Your skin, even words we use as far as perms and relaxers. We get relaxers, y'all get perms. We got some differences. But how many of you know that we got more similarities than we have differences? You understand, if you stub your toe, you're going to say ouch like I'm going to say ouch. You're going to have to understand, if you get cut, you're going to bleed like I'm going to bleed. And that's what Paul begins to tell them in the text. He says, listen, God has made us of one blood. He tells them very plainly, listen, no matter where you come from, no matter where you are, God knows who you are. And because you are his people, you my people. He preaches the gospel and reminds them that you have more similarities than you have differences. And on today, I want to remind somebody that we have some differences, but we have more similarities, especially when we are worshiping one Lord. When we sit here in the text, we can see that Paul sees the unrest and is moved to not only say something, but he gets to a point that he has to do something about it. We celebrate Dr. King because he is not just one that said something, but he did something. As I sat over there in the seat, started to prepare and said, God, how do I know this is a sermon? The choir started to sing the song, and then the congregants started to relay in that there is no need for you to pray about a community if you won't go care about a community. There's no need for you to sit up here and say that you love somebody, but you won't show love. You got to understand something. If you get agitated about something enough, you'll begin to do something. Dr. King, right there, as he did the march on Washington about jobs, he sat there and did not just march and have an I have a dream speech, but Dr. King didn't mind going to jail in order to let somebody know that what he believed in was real. I started to do a little bit more research even on the march on Washington, and what I found out is that it was not only those of my hue that marched. It was not only those that were of the brown skin hue. It was some people that looked just like you that got out of their homes and got out of their comfort zones and began to march on Washington because they wanted equal opportunity for everybody. They wanted to end separation. They wanted to end things that were causing discomfort and distrust. And the way that they banded around each other was not just about the statement of freedom and the statement of jobs, but they gathered around the name of Jesus. Dr. King was not one that only spoke against inequality, racism, and segregation, but he held sit-ins to increase awareness. My brothers and sisters, I am of the same belief as Dr. King and Paul, that the household of faith has to be more about being not only hearers of the word, but we got to become doers of the word. Paul finds himself in a place of doing. Upon being questioned, he begins to preach the gospel. But what is unique and noteworthy, if nothing else, is the fact that he preaches Christ from a place of unity. Verse 26 says, from one blood all nations of men he created. Yes, if you really want to help in today's society, we're going to have to admit that God created us all. One blood. Blood is the fluid that delivers necessary substance and nutrients to the body. Scientists use blood tests conducted by doctors check for diseases and adverse conditions. And I can prove to you that we are of the same blood because we got the same issue. Here is the issue. We have a sin issue. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have had some problems. We all have had some ups and we've had some downs. But I thank God that even when I look at myself, I can look over to my brother and sister and find encouragement because you've had some ups and you've had some downs. I believe in proving it, so let me put it this way. When I was younger, I did not have any wrinkles under my eyes. Now that I've lived about 42 years, God has seen fit to put some lines where lines wasn't. Things that used to be tight, they ain't tight no more. But I thank God that he still left me here. And as I look at you, you may not be looking what you looked like when you was 19. But can we all admit, I thank God that I'm still here. I thank God that I got my brothers and my sisters. I thank God that even when I look at you, I can look that see and tell you that you don't look like what you've been through. You look better now than you ever have before. Yes, Paul proclaims the good news of Christ by letting the people know that we all are in this thing together, for God has made us of one blood. Then he tells them that as God has made us of one blood, God knew that we would have differences, so he set us up to be more than one nation. Yes, if we really want to see change, we're going to have to admit that we have some differences. Yes, you may be Presbyterian. Somebody may be Catholic. Somebody may be AME. Somebody may be United Methodist. Somebody may be Church of God, Church of God in Christ. And look at me, I'm Baptist. And while we all may have a difference or a variance in our doctrine, all I care about is, does the doctrine teach Jesus, the one who bled, suffered, and died for our sins and became our great Redeemer? Does the doctrine tell you that God is the creator of all and the Holy Ghost is the guide that leads us into all truth? If that be the case, we should be able to get along, my brothers and sisters. Yes, I believe that Dr. Martin Luther King proclaimed that I have a dream in August of 28, 1963. One excerpt says, I still have a dream. A dream deeply rooted in the African, in the American dream. One day, this nation will rise up and stand up and live up to its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream. Brother Martin Luther King had a dream. I believe Paul had a similar dream that all men and women will come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. For that is what Paul preached to them. He preached Jesus who bled, suffered, and died, but then he also preached the resurrection of Jesus. Well, I need to let you know this morning that while Paul had a dream and Dr. King had a dream, I too have a dream. And maybe my dream needs to be read by the great psalmist that says, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Well, Coleman, what can you see? Why don't you ask me? Say, Coleman, what can you see? I can see you as my brother and my sister. I can see one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I can see that he created you in a very special way, the same way he created me. I can see that if we all call on the name of Jesus and pray and turn from our wicked ways, he will heal this land. I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. I can see clearly now that when we put down the wall and just let people be with families and tell them that God has a redemptive love for families, that families can be set free. I can see clearly now that if we go ahead and tell somebody that God saves, and he does save anybody, he saves a prostitute, he saves the drug dealer, he saves the black, he saves the white, he saves the Hispanic, he saves the Asian, then God can get the glory. I know that I'm in First Presbyterian, but do me a favor and holler back at your boy and say, I thank God for saving me. I thank God for delivering me. I thank God for turning me around. I thank God for giving me another change. Because guess what? I'm in the nation of Jesus. I know they got the nation of Islam, but I'm in God's nation. I'm in the nation of Jesus. And when I'm in the nation of Jesus, if I call on him, God will answer. Thank y'all for bearing with me. But I just need to let you know that we're in this thing together. Because God took one blood. That same blood was shed on Calvary's Mount for the remission of all sin. That same blood that was in heaven came down through 40 and two generations to save you and I. No matter what we do, my brothers and sisters, if we really want to understand the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, you got to understand the words of Jesus Christ. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. To God be the glory.